This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
Well, today's podcast is one of those that's going to get me in a little trouble probably, but you know, it's easy to blame the messenger. I saw this photograph and it made my blood boil. It's a photograph of Joe Biden standing next to Mike Johnson. They're both holding photographs of Holocaust victims. While Biden gave an address on anti-Semitism, a scripted address. I mean, and what he said in the address was really very inconsistent with what he's been doing leading up to this. But let me just stick with the photograph for a second and why it got me riled up. First of all, you've got the little metrosexual Mike Johnson, right? And I know he's got the voice caricature down, that he sounds like a big boy, but I don't really think he is. I don't think that this is a guy who's ever been out of a suit. I don't think this is a guy who's ever had dirt under his fingernails. He's got the goofy haircut. He says all the right things. And he's got the Bill Barr glasses, right? Just a true conservative from Louisiana with the blue suit on. And I'm sure all that's authentic enough. But the part that caught my eye was how he closed his eyes as Biden's speaking. He's holding this photograph as if he's in some deep religious contemplation, sharing in this horror with his Jewish brethren. All BS. Biden warned, and then the whole story goes to Biden. And this is going to make a lot of sense as I go through this story. Just stay with me. Joe Biden warned on Tuesday that the threat of anti-Semitism is growing in the United States. Well, that's his opinion, including on college campuses. His support of Israel's assault on Gaza divides Democrats, alienating some young voters. In a speech honoring the 6 million Jews killed in the Holocaust, we don't honor the 6 million Jews killed in the Holocaust. We would respect or remember. I don't think we honor 6 million Jews killed in the Holocaust. And forgive me for being a little rude, if I may, but this is another one of those circumstances where I haven't really seen a broad Jewish outpouring of thanks for the American soldiers that liberated them, in some case the Russian soldiers as well. I wonder how many people today are how many Jews today are saying, you know, death to Russia over this Ukraine thing when their ancestry might have been liberated by Russians. Well, it's just an interesting dichotomy to me. I'm not Jewish. Biden joined a heated debate about Jewish security, Zionism, free speech, and support for Israel, in the country with the largest Jewish population after Israel. Addressing a bipartisan audience, in other words, the American people are going to get royally screwed, and so will the Jewish people. At a Holocaust Memorial Museum's annual commemoration, he warned of the risk that the truth about the systemic killing of Jews in World War II would be lost. Well, how would that be? How about the other people that were killed in World War II? We never really talk about it. Never again, simply translated for me, means never forget. Never forgetting means we must keep telling the story. We must keep teaching the truth. Well, that would be the first time Biden would do that. Why don't he give it a try and go first? How about Biden tells the truth about everything? And this is the problem with people like Biden and the fake little Republican he has next to him. How hard it must be for Mike Johnson to be a foot shorter than Joe Biden, I don't know. I don't know. Joe Biden says the hatred of Jews continues to lie deep in the hearts of too many people. Well, happy for him because he's going to say, well, I'll be the white knight and all this Jewish people. Oh, really? Well, let's go to this story. Meanwhile, and I'll tie this all together. Let me just give you the headline. So that was the first thing that caught my eye. And you already knew about this, that they were at the Holocaust Memorial, because the whole talk made its rounds everywhere. It was, you know, they got Trump locked down in a trial, so he can't do any campaigning. Meanwhile, the Republican establishment, now led by Mike Johnson, as I kind of predicted, not a hard prediction on that, but I just saw this guy coming. I just said, something's not right. Something's not right. I just don't see him as a leader. Where this guy, because another one of these guys that comes out of nowhere, and all of a sudden you got people worshiping him because he's a Christian and he prayed. Oh, he prayed on the house floor. Oh, what was he praying? Maybe that's what we should be asking. Anyway, when I see Mike Johnson sitting there curled up in a little ball with his eyes closed, holding a picture of two Jewish people that we don't even know who they are, there's some kind of mass symbolism. Who got to choose these photographs? I guess everybody's holding one. I don't know. They hold 6 million photographs. This is symbolic nonsense, really, just in time for the election to fool Jewish people into voting Democrat. But I don't know why they'd vote Republican. I couldn't give you a good reason to do that either. So that's that story. Those two holding hands, having a grand old time at the expense of Jewish people. Then you have this story. And this is, I think, it's only from a couple of days ago. So let's see. So this was from the 5th. And then when was the, I think this was yesterday, the 7th. So just 2 days apart, right? So Biden talks about anti-Semitism and how it must stop. Let's not forget, right? Hard words. But then Democrat representatives are saying that Biden is focused on ensuring consequences are proportionate for student protesters. Oh, what does that mean? I mean, it seems to be an indication of fairness, but is it really? No, it's just another indication of the two-rule rule. Representative Jennifer McClellan from Virginia, a surrogate for Biden's reelection campaign, okay, said on Sunday that Biden is focused on ensuring proportionate consequences for student protesters. How Biden is navigating the opposing tensions, with some embracing the student protesters' viewpoints and others raising concerns about violations of the law and incidents of anti-Semitism. What are the violations of law exactly? Now, if there's any violence or somebody's hitting anybody, that would be a violation of law, right? You would think. Anyway, I don't know. But what are the other violations? Is it blocking somebody from entering? I'm not sure that that is. Don't unions do that all the time? I think the president is focused on striking the right balance between protecting the free speech and the right of the students to assemble peacefully with enforcement of the laws. When laws are broken, there needs to be consequences. But he's also focused on making sure those consequences are proportionate. He's also very focused on making sure that the reason for the protest is resolved and that it is working to resolve the conflict in the Middle East. Oh, really? Is that true? So, and these comments echo Biden. So, Biden, Mr. Fairness, let's not offend the protesters kind of thing. Meanwhile, you know, this is from Tuesday the 7th, and at the same time that Biden was there holding photos and holding hands with Mike Johnson, and they cried, Jewish people. Meanwhile, the United States paused shipment of weapons to Israel to head off the Rafah invasion. Joe Biden's administration paused the shipment of weapons last week in opposition to apparent moves by the Israelis to invade the southern Gaza city of Rafah. Biden has been trying to head off a full-scale assault by the Israelis. The officials speaking on the condition of anonymity, of course. They get anonymity, but nobody else does. There's another part of the two-rule rule. Said that the Israeli leaders seemed to approach a decision on a Rafah incursion. We began to carefully review proposed transfers of particular weapons that Israel might be used in Rafah. As a result of the review, we paused shipment of weapons last week. Consists of 2,000-pound and 500-pound bombs. We're especially focused on the end use of the 2,000-pound bombs and the impact they would have on dense urban settings. Okay, proportionate, right? Proportionate consequences. Then, while all this is going on, you have, and this is from a Jewish news source, okay? And this is critical of this, just to be fair. The news source is being critical. David Weiss, a leader of a group I can't pronounce in the United States who runs around, I told you this is critical of him, I didn't write this, who runs around the world to kiss notorious terrorists and Holocaust deniers, isn't content with supporting the world's worst tyrants. He has to oppose the country that provides some shelter, too. On Monday evening, Weiss participated in the burning of an American Israeli flag during a street protest near the Met Museum in Manhattan. Video from the flag burning shows pro-Hamas demonstrators shouting in Arabic as Weiss helped set the flag alight. Another video shows Weiss shredding an Israeli flag amongst protesters, and a third shows him getting into a fight with a protester over a scarf, with a woman claiming that Weiss had stolen it from her. And he's fighting to keep the scarf back. It's kind of funny. So here's my question. Oh, and then let me go to this one real quick, and then I'll do this. So then this was on, no date on this one. This was a little bit before all this, but this is the University of Mississippi, and this black woman comes out into front of a white crowd, and a white guy is making monkey sounds at her, right? Very distasteful, right? But he was thrown out of his fraternity for that. I don't think the school. University of Mississippi has opened a student misconduct investigation. So he's going to get in trouble. So let's run through this real quick, because I think there may be three or four rules in effect at this point. And this is going to be more, even more. I mean, you think the two-rule rule is bad. Wait till we go to the three-rule rule or the four-rule rule or the five or the six or the seven or the eight. I don't know where it would end. They're going to be like a gender class. This is why you're going to need AI to help with the law, because there's really no standard system of justice. It's going to be like a system, you know, where you got to put in your gender identity and your race and your nationality and your political party, and then you'll get your set of rules. Tell me where I'm wrong about that. How is it that a Palestinian protester comes in and says death to Israel in America, and Jewish people want that to be a crime? You going to tell me this yitzpah that's burning the American flag in New York that he shouldn't suffer the same fate because he's Jewish? Nah, it's different. That's, you can say death to Israel. A Jewish guy can say death to Israel, death to the United States. No, he didn't say that. He just burned the flag. So they want to actually say that the phrase from the river to the sea is hate speech. But so you're going to make that illegal to say that. But it's perfectly okay to burn the American flag. You can't say that you can't make monkey sounds in front of a black person. But a black person can go beat the hell out of a white person and be let out of jail in 20 minutes in New York. You realize that? Tell me there isn't a really perverted system of justice. You look at everything that's going on. Let me, here, I'll give you one. You go, as a white guy, and you go burn a one of these missing people in Israel. I'm not suggesting you do it. I'm not saying it's a good idea to be burning any of this stuff. I tell you right now, you go out there as a white person and tear down a missing Israeli poster and burn it in the street, and they'll probably charge you with arson. I kid you not. I don't know what to say. And I hear all the clamoring for the poor Jewish people. I say, where is the voice of the Jewish people for what's good and for what's right? For everyone, not just Jewish people, but what is good, what is right, what is just? And we're not hearing anybody talking about that. We're going back to tribal living, I guess. I don't know. I look at the whole thing and I just shake my head. And you got people with so strongly, look, to me, jumping on the side of Israel, this Gaza attack came out of nowhere. And I've said it a million times, I do not support Hamas, I do not support the attack, I don't defend it in any way. It was horrible, an absolutely barbaric atrocity carried out by a bunch of animals. That being said, how do you know that there wasn't a false flag element of this? How do you know? Why was it left open like that? Why was that sector of the border? And they were warned about it, just like in Ukraine. You know, far too often we override complicity, especially when the event is used for political gain. And this whole Israeli conflict is huge political gain for Democrats. And then Mike Johnson's going to jump in and help them because he says, oh, there's a lot of political momentum here. I don't want to miss out. That's the Philly line. Psh. I'm sure that comes across great. Do you remember me talking about this? The guy in Philly, somebody did it to me the other day. Psh. And you wave your hand. I'll tell you, make your blood boil. Somebody does. It's like the Philly, you know, the F-U, I guess. I don't know. Hopefully I can say that, not offend anybody. Oh, man, what are you going to do? I saw that photo of Mike Johnson. I felt my blood boil. Whose side is he on? And I'm not too sure sometimes, you know, in the side of America against the rest of the world, I guess. What side is Israel's on, really? I'm kind of losing sight of that. I'm not really sure anymore. I don't really feel that Jewish people are doing anything to defend me or to protect me. Just the opposite. I find many hostile Jewish people, hostile to conservative thinking white, straight white men. That's my observation. I'm losing trust in Jewish people as a whole. Now, don't get me wrong. I've got Jewish people I'm close to. We've got Jewish people in our family. But these days, somebody tell me they're Jewish, I'm like, I don't know if I want to get roped into this, man, because too many of them come from places like, what's this, where the Columbia or whatever, they're up there in New York, these radical liberal schools, and they're nuts. They're nuts. I don't know. All right, let's keep going. I mean, you could go on and on about the persecution of Christians, not at the hands of Jewish people. I wouldn't say it like that, but they've participated in it. They participated. Case in point. How about the Catholic guy up in Bucks County here who was praying at the abortion clinic and got arrested? Did you see any Jewish lawyers or any big Jewish movement, you know, coming out to protect civil rights? No. But boy, their right to class, if that's interfered with, what about the right to pray? What about the right to protest? The Jewish movement politically is selfish, like many others. You know, the United States has had this, we're going to try and help the rest of the world. Meanwhile, they're just selfishly taking for themselves, as best I can see it. So why would we keep giving? Why would we keep doing that? To our own detriment, no less, or bankrupting the doggone company. All right, a couple other stories I wanted to mention. Fire and hide, Ukraine's artillery pinned down by Russian drones. Well, this is really fascinating on a lot of levels because I've been talking about this with Force Design 2030. We've given up a lot of our American artillery while Russia and China are building more. And now you come to find out that it sounds like that the Russians are also winning on the conventional side and the drone side. You know, they're saying that the Ukrainian artillery can't fire, completely inept. And this is a proxy war of some kind, really, when you think about it, us against Russia. And the best I can tell, we're getting our butts kicked. Wow. What happens if Russia wins decisively, no less? It seems to be happening. Listen to this crazy story. What has happened in Canada? Why isn't any of the news talking about what's happening in Canada and what's happening in Australia? These were huge democracies that are getting pummeled. Anyway, I saw this story. Ottawa approves British Columbia's request to make public drug use illegal again. A couple things jumped out at me about this. Ottawa approves the state's request. Now, they don't have states, they have territories. It's a different form of government. I get it. But if I read this right, that the local people can't make a decision without approval from the king, the multi-headed king, just like we have. And if you read and you look into what Columbia was teaching, what was the act that I mentioned yesterday that your brother Obama sicked on us? They want a big central government in the same way that would approve all these things because they know better than you. No, we're not gonna make drug use illegal again. Some drugs are good, and you need more of them. Some drugs are bad, they need to be completely illegal. My administration will take a scalpel to the drug. Yeah, sure. And so basically, after, and it's hilarious to me, the write-up of this, they said, well, this is why we test and we learn. Now, these lessons have already been learned. All you had to do was read about it, talk to the cops. They would tell you. You start letting people shoot up in the park, and you're going to have big problems with that. There's a reason why we have basic rules of decency, and I don't think we should change it, right? You know that in certain places like Charlotte, North Carolina, they'll arrest you for foul language in public? And you can't imagine how nice it is in public up there, out there. It's beautiful. People respect each other. You say hello, they'll say hello to you. It's a very civilized society. You come up here to Philadelphia, it's like a bunch of animals. It is. Nobody says hello to anybody. You say hello, you're lucky they don't punch you in the face. I don't know. They just say, oh, well, we learned from our mistakes. Yeah, how many people were hurt, injured? How much destruction was done in the meantime? Just ridiculous. This is what's going to be happening here. It pretty much already is. Right? Why do you think New York still has the sanctuary laws? Well, because that's what Uncle Joe wants. Another funny story here. Did you hear about the Panera Bread charged lemonade? I happened to, because I knew somebody that worked for Panera Bread. And it's kind of funny to me. And there was two lawsuits, one by somebody who had a heart problem, drank this lemonade, had a bit another problem. A similar story, the second one. Now, I'm going to say to you, if you have a heart issue, are you going to slam a charged lemonade? Are you going to slam a coffee? This thing, so they had to take it off the menu. It didn't even have 400 milligrams of caffeine in it. I take 200 milligram time-release caffeine. I take five of them, 1,000 milligrams. And my heart doesn't race at all. Now, other things have made my heart race. I keep track of it, too. I know somebody, 1,000 milligrams. I know, because you're all a bunch of sheep. I tested it myself. That was the dosage that works great. Now, it's, like I said, it's an eight-hour time release. I don't know how all that's working. I don't think it's surging in 1,000 milligrams at one time like maybe the lemonade does. I've taken other things I'm not going to mention that I say, you got to be careful with that stuff. It'll definitely, can mess with. I've taken metabolism boosters. I mean, man, my heartbeat's like running at 100. It's a little freaky. But don't you think if you have a heart problem, you would stay away from this? Maybe they need a warning label on it, right? If you're a moron, don't drink this. Wouldn't that be maybe that should just be the catch-all safety label. I might be onto something. Just have a static label. Stupid people shouldn't use gas cans. Stupid people shouldn't use caffeine. Stupid people shouldn't use drugs. Stupid people shouldn't vote. Stupid people shouldn't procreate. Stupid people probably shouldn't own animals. I mean, they shouldn't drive? I mean, what are you going to do? Maybe that's the two-rule rule. Imagine that. Here's the new system. High IQ, low IQ, pass or fail, very simple. That's all. I don't know. That could be one of my most genius ideas yet when you think about it. Just sort the whole population out by IQ. I would be totally good with that. That's really what should be happening. And it says here you're a world-class idiot. We're going to move you to the left side of the aisle. All right. Well, you know, it's funny how we talk about these things as if intelligence. Really, I think it should be a selfishness score. That would really be the way to do it. Are you selfish or are you willing to do what makes sense that's in everybody's interest? And I don't mean, you know, payouts. I'm talking about things like the Second Amendment and free speech. You see, you hear me? I say, look, you can't tell people that you can't make monkey sounds. I didn't say it wasn't rude. I didn't say it wasn't detestable. I don't make monkey sounds at anybody. I wouldn't allow my children to do that. I didn't say it was tasteful. I didn't say it was good. I didn't say it's okay. I didn't say any of that. I just said it shouldn't be illegal. That's my belief. You should be able to make monkey sounds at people if that's your choice. And if you're an adult, you should be able to take it and survive. I mean, people have made certainly ignorant remarks to me, but nobody cares. Nobody cares. All right, here's another funny one. This is the headline. Police let violent mobs attack UCLA students. Wasn't it at UCLA or in that general area where they were talking about don't call the police because it's racist? Weren't they the ones talking about defund the police? Yes, they were. And then when they called and the police were like, it's a free speech issue. I mean, what's the difference between the free speech issue at UCLA that the Jewish people are getting whooped on? Then there was the free speech in Philadelphia in 2020 when Asian people were getting clobbered. When Seattle was under attack, I didn't hear any Jewish people speaking out saying, you know what, this shouldn't be happening. I didn't hear them saying, why aren't the police doing anything? Now they want to say police let violent mobs. Oh, really? Because this is what we do now. You don't expect the police to actually intervene, do you? Oh, no, they don't do that except on order of the king. Yeah, they're not certainly not going to do it on their own. They're not allowed to think on their own. You get in big trouble for that kind of thing. This is fascinating on a number of different levels. Munchen, this is Stephen, am I saying it right? Steve Munchen, the former U.S. Treasury Secretary, said he's interested in buying TikTok from its Chinese owner. Said he believes that the social media app's critical video recommendation technology could be replicated easily, I'm sure. He said, I've actually spoken to a lot of tech companies on working about rebuilding this. So why the push, boy? Boy, does the government and the powers to be, they want to get their dirty little hands on TikTok. Why is that? Must be valuable, right? They must be doing something right over at TikTok. Very interesting. There's your segregation right there. The Chinese, they don't allow Facebook over there. Remember when Kuckerberg went over there and kissed their royal butts? I remember talking to the propaganda chief. What do we need to do? Get rid of Trump. Okay, he's gone. Now what? Yeah, so are you, loser. Here's a news flash for you. I don't think the Chinese like Jewish people. Here's a little news flash for you that people don't want to hear. I don't think the Asian culture is friendly to Jewish people, generally speaking. Of course, you're going to have differences in there. I mean, I know a Jewish guy is married to a Vietnamese woman, so obviously, there's times that that's different. But I bet you if you were to do a poll and a survey of Asian people as a whole, that they're not friendly to Jewish people. That would be my guess. But yeah, Kuckerberg, the Jewish guy, is going to go over there and bow down to them. And then when the whole thing goes wrong, you know what he's going to do? He's going to want the American military to, what do we do? Send in the Protestant boys. Send in the Catholic boys, I guess. I don't know. Not the police. Not the police in California. I want to be clear on something, by the way. I don't want to make sure I'm not sounding anti-Semitic, because I'm not. I want to see Jewish people live in peace the same way I want to live in peace. And I think this is horrible. I really do. But I say to you, if you're Jewish, you need to wake up, man, like a lot of Americans do, and take a look at what's really going on and realize that when straight white males are getting beat on, it's going to be you that's going to be next. If we don't start sticking together, we're going to hang together. Isn't that a saying from years ago? Either we stick together or we hang. I forget how that was supposed to go. All right, well, here you go. Here's the National Propaganda Resource Center, NPR. They did a deep dive. The headline here, is it easy for migrants to enter the U.S.? NPR went to the border to find out. And, you know, I'm sure that they just went to make sure that, you know, that the truth is being told. First time ever, right? But they want to make sure that it's not too easy for the migrants is what they're going to tell you. This is hilarious when you think about the number of migrants coming in that NPR is now going to put out this propaganda piece. It's not that easy for them. It's not as easy as you think. I don't know. The world's gone nuts. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Show up to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.